prayer list and a prayer box, Lord. We just pray, God, you might touch them in a special way, Father, that your name might be glorified even in their sickness. And we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen. The deepest needs is for us to be happy. And you know there's only one way to be happy, and that's to know Jesus Christ. Look back in your life when you thought you was happy, but you didn't know Jesus Christ. And you know, I really do believe that every one of us wants to be happy. In fact, I believe everybody in the world wants to be happy. I believe everybody wants to be happy in the things. But the world says, you know, if you have enough of things, you'll be happy. If you're rich, you'll be happy, and money-wise, and just the things you have, you always want. If you get these things, you'll be happy. It's like the man and married his wife, and they were both of 20 years old. And after 30 long years of marriage, this man said, I want to do something different for our anniversary. So he went out and bought one of these bottles with a genie in it. Brought it home to his wife and gave it to her and says, you know, rub this bottle and you get your wish. So she rubbed that bottle and out popped the genie. And the genie says, go ahead and make your wish now. Anything you want. She said, well, that old skinflint husband of mine has never cared to be on a cruise. I've always wanted to go on a cruise. He's so tight, he won't never care to be on a cruise. And poof, she had a whole handful of cruise tickets all over the world. Man, he's seen that and said, man, that's all right. Genie says, all right, sir, you make your wish, anything you want. He thought a minute, he says, I would like to be married to a woman that I'm 30 years older than she is. And poof, he was 80 years old. We need to be careful what we think will make us happy, don't we? We need to be careful what we think will make us happy. This world has the same delusion that thinking that, you know, what we have will make you happy or doing things will make you happy. But, you know, blessedness, it's a hard word to really to translate. As I looked at a lot of the different commentaries and dictionaries, it's full of joy. To have maybe what you need, just think about the needs that different people have. Jesus gave us these stones to build a blessed, happy life and to know Jesus Christ. You wrap all these into one. We'll take them one by one. But the one we're going to look at tonight is really, blessed are the poor in spirit. And this is Jesus Christ speaking, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This first stone, you know, blessing are those who are poor in spirit. As you think about this, Jesus talking about what we are instead of what we have. He's talking to what we are instead of what we have. As you think about this today, the world, you know, more the world, and as a lot of us pursue happiness, you know, the more it runs away from us. But Jesus Christ trying to tell you, you know, if you just go about and have these beatitudes, he says, you know what, happiness will come after you. And it's hard. It's a hard thing for us to understand sometimes about this happiness, because the world wants to take it away from us and wants us to pursue happiness in the wrong direction. The world wants to put emphasis primarily upon what we do have. You know, there's so many people. You know, that's the reason the lottery is so popular today. People think that they win the lottery of 10 million or 50 million or 5, whatever it might be. If we could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. No, you wouldn't be happy. Oh, now you might have something for a while, but it wouldn't make you happy. There's a lot of people who won the lottery is not happy. Because happiness is not in having things, it's who you are in Christ Jesus. Blessed are they that have wealth, the world would say. Or blessed are they that have power in this world. Or knowledge, popularity, books and brains and beauty is the world's. Man, if you have that, you're going to have happiness. Thinking that these things might bring happiness to us. But you see, there's a lot of TV and movie stars who committed suicide because they was very unhappy. Did y'all know that? Now, if I had my ruthers and I could give or take away something from my children, I have had a reasonable way that I can make one of those a movie star. You know, I wouldn't want one of my kids to be a movie star. I wouldn't want them to go through what they have to go through. Would y'all? I mean, there's some Christian movie stars, you know. But I just wouldn't want mine to have to go through what they have to go through with. And you just think, if you was a millionaire, If you won that lottery and, you know, $10 million, you just think, I always think, well, what I could do with that. Well, what I could do with that. Do you really think that you'd be happier than what you are right now? You wouldn't be as happy as you are right now. And you know what? If Lord wanted you to be a millionaire, he'd have made you a millionaire. Did y'all know that? That's the reason I don't have any more money than what I have right now, because Lord knows I couldn't handle it. Hey, I couldn't handle it. But people think it's things, what we have, but it's what a person is that makes us happy. And Jesus starts describing these things, the quality of happiness. The Bible is so up to date today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, it says, blessed are the beggars. That don't sound like the world standard. Blessed are the beggars. Blessed are the poor. Now, the Bible has different words that we read in our Bible for poor. Now, one word for poor was used when, you know, when that widow come into the temple and everybody was putting money in the temple treasure, and she came in and added her two mites or her two pennies. She was considered as this poor lady. But she did have two mites, and she gave all she had, and she was considered that way just a poor person in poverty. But you see, there's another word used in the Bible for poor. She had something to give. She was about to as far as she could go. But there's another word used in the Bible for poor. It was, you know, when the rich man and Lazarus. And that's in Luke chapter 16. And you know, here's what it said in Luke chapter 16, 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was led at the gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, here it is, a beggar. Now, not just a beggar, but one that's just a poor man. This is another word for poor. This widow had just gave her two mites. Now, she was a poor lady, but she wasn't in destitute as this man was. I mean, he didn't have enough, but just didn't even have two mites to give. Yes, the crumbs that fell from the table and the old dogs come and licked the sore. Total impoverished. I mean, he didn't have anything. I mean, nothing. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What you talking about, Jesus? Who are these blessed beggars that Jesus Christ called his disciples? They sat down there on that mountain. He began to tell them about this thing. Can you imagine what they thought? Can you imagine what people think today as they read this and Jesus Christ says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the beggars of the world? I mean, what are you talking about, Jesus? Well, these stones here, the first one there is these stepping stones in the kingdom of the spiritual beggar is his bankruptcy. Blessed are the bankrupt. I mean, don't have anything. Now, and it's not talking about the start with, it's not talking about our financial bankruptcy. It's not talking about your money, not talking about our financial. It's not saying blessed are those that got financial bankruptcy. That's not what he's talking about. And he never said it's a blessing to be financially poor either. You won't find that. It's not a blessing to be financially poor, as to say. He's not talking about financial poorness, and he's he's not talking about being poor-spirited. You know, like, oh, that old poor man, you walk around with his head down, you know, and poor in spirit, you know. Outward expression. He's not talking about that outward expression. His head, oh, poor man. But blessed are the poor in spirit. What is he talking about? Well, you know, our self is a trinity just like God. We have a trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Every one of us does. Well, as you see, the body, that's what we understand, have our physical life is through this body. That's the way I know physical life around me is in this body. But now the soul, that's the way I understand the emotional life that's around me and in me is through my soul part. But the spirit that's in me, that's in you, that's the way we know the spirit life. And that's when it's really, really important. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about now, our spirit life. Now, the body, you know, in our body, we know the world that's beneath us. We walk on the world. One day we'll have a new heaven, a new earth. We'll have a new world. But as we know it today, my body is familiar with the world that's beneath me. But now my soul inside of me that has the emotional part of me. I know the world that's around me, and we have emotional feelings with our brothers and sisters, our wife, husband, and family all around us. But our spirit, that's the way that we know the world, what? That's above us, the kingdom of the Lord. John chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "But the hour come and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him." Jesus is stripping away now everything away and leaving us bare. And he's talking to his disciples. Before a person can enter the kingdom of heaven, one thing they got admit in their spirit, they're total bankrupt. You see, now that's the reason that more people are not saved. That's the reason more people are not entering into the kingdom of heaven. That's the reason more people don't come to church, because they don't see themselves as beggars before God. They don't see themselves as beggars before God. That's the reason that we have to come before God. In my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Until we get to that point in our life, no matter who you are, until you see yourself in the light of a holy God and a sinful person that we are bankrupt, we don't have anything to give God, we don't have anything to pay back God, because we know that we are sinners by birth, by choice, by nature, that we are sinners, every one of us, but we have sinned, but we don't have anything to give God back for our sins. We are bankrupt, nothing. Some people think they're good enough, maybe on what they do, how much they give, just all type of things that people think they're good enough. They're good enough that they don't need to understand to be broke before God. But you have to be perfect. Well, some people say, well, I may not be perfect. I know that I have my faults, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. They got somebody in their mind they're comparing themselves with. I might not be as bad as some, and I know that I'm not perfect. I have my faults, but I'm not as bad as that old person down there that's on drugs. I'm bad as that person down there that can't keep a bottle of whiskey out of his hands. I'm not as bad as that person that does so-and-so. I'm not that bad. I got faults, and I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad. You see, that person not measuring themselves up with Jesus Christ. And you might look pretty good upside someone else in your eyes, but how do you look when you measure yourself in front of God? That's what God wants to bring us to. In Matthew chapter 5 and 20 it says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, the Bible gives us some righteousness, but you see, our righteousness, and understand this, our righteousness, that is, we try to have righteousness ourselves, and a lot of people think they are righteous before God because of what they do, what they give, how they act, how they behave. But he says, our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of a righteous and holy God. A lot of people don't understand that. That is before that we are saved, trying to be righteous before God. Something that we might be able to do, some way that we might be able to behave, and this old Satan keeps us over a lot of people's eyes. He pulls out blinders over it and think that, say, if you're good, you're better off than some of these people down there that goes to church. You know, I've heard a lot of people tell me, hey, I'm just as good as those people down there that goes to church in Pleasant Hill. And you know what the truth? They are, but what they ought to be able to be, say, I'm just as bad, because none of us good in here. If it weren't for God living in you, where would you be tonight? Where would you be tonight? It's not your goodness. And he says, except. You see, God, he sets a premium on righteousness. Except your righteousness shall exceed the right. Well, how much should I exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, the scribes are one that really studied and knew the Bible. The Pharisees were the religious of the religious. I mean, they were the church growers. I mean, there's Sunday school teachers, as we would say in our time. But your righteousness got to exceed their righteousness, because they went around trying their best, you know, to let the religious world and the world see how righteous they was, what they done, and how they behaved. You see, spiritual beggars, you got to see your bankrupt. And until people comes and people understands that, people will not be saved. You know, we have a lot of church members that never come that far, and they still church members, and they're not saved. They go, they have never saw themselves as a bankrupt beggar before God. They think that I'm good enough. I'm just as good as you are. You say you go in heaven, yeah. You know you go, yeah, well, I'm just as good as you are. But that's not what God says. The second thing, you know, the second stone, he says, the spiritual beggar and his brokenness. You got to first admit that you are nothing in the world but just a bankrupt sinner. And then, you know, you got to get broken over your sin. And you see, brokenness follows bankruptcy. That's our broken behavior. And you know, the greatest need that people have in our country and the greatest people need in our world is to see our needs. That's the greatest need we have in our country. That's the greatest need that everybody has, is to see our needs. What's the real problem with our country is if we could see our needs in this country? What is our needs in our country? It's to bring Almighty God back in the center of our life and our nation, our families and our churches. We don't see our need. This country don't see the need, the greatest need, and that's the need we have for God. And you know, a lot of Christians the same way. They don't see where they need God. A lot of people that say they don't see that they need God. Who needs God? They don't see their needs. But different ones have a glimpse of God. You know, Peter got a glimpse of God and his majesty and his glory. And when he did, you know what old Peter said? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Because he saw his back. And he was one of the disciples that Jesus Christ called. And old Peter, but he saw his bankruptcy before Jesus Christ, as a lot of church members. And then he said, you know, Lord, depart from me. Man, I'm nothing but a beggar. I'm a bankrupt sinner. And he's broken over his sinful nature that he had. And Isaiah was another one. In chapter 5, Isaiah was a prophet, a mighty prophet of God. In chapter 5, he had a message to the nation of Israel. He says, woe against the nation of Israel. Woe against the nation of Israel, you know, and woe against this nation, woe against this country, and woe against you people. God sent him to tell him that. But then in chapter 6, Isaiah saw himself. He saw himself. Woe is I. You know, tonight we can talk about a lot of people, and I say, you know, needs to be here, and they do. A lot of people you see in the condition they're living in. But how about you? As a preacher, when I say we, how about me? And Isaiah, it said in chapter 6, verse 1, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. And then he got down to verse 5 in that chapter. Then he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Until people see Jesus Christ of King of kings and Lord of lords, who he says he is, they're going to say woe to everything else, but woe is me. They won't be brokenness until they find out they are a bankrupt person. And then they might say, hey, now woe is me. Isaiah saw his poorness and his spirit. And then in Mark, there was a Gentile woman, and she had a daughter with an unclean spirit. Really, she was possessed with a demon, and she asked Jesus Christ to come and cast out this demon was in her daughter, and she was a Gentile. Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7 said some things that's hard for us to understand sometimes, but we have the light of the Holy Bible to tell us. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be fed, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil or the demon is gone out of thy daughter. She asked for this demon to be cast out of her daughter. And God told her, or Jesus told her there in verses before that, that he did not come to the to the Gentile, but he come to the nation Israel first. First. And that's what he explained to her. And as we read this, she saw her brokenness. He was bringing her to a point that he has to bring everybody, the Holy Spirit of God. We must come to this point of brokenness in spirit. We have to see Jesus Christ and have to come to our brokenness. And he said, but I first come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, verse 27 again. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be fed or be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Again, now, as you use your Bible and you, if you have some strong concordance, because there's more than one word for dog used in the Bible. As I said, for a lot of words, they have more than one word. In that, she was talking about dogs there in verse 27, and the word that she used there in the Greek language was for a household pet. Anybody got a dog for a pet at home? I do. And that's what she is talking about. The crumbs from the table from Israel falls to the household pets. That's what Jesus said, the household pet. But then the second word is used for dog. She used it. Jesus used the first word for household pet. But then she used the word for dogs there in chapter 28. And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs. And that word for dogs is a word that's used for an old mangy dog, old scoundrel dog. You know, sometimes someone throws one out, he's kind of half mad dog and hair's falling off of him. You're scared to touch him and he's liable to bite you. Just an old mangy old dog. Well, that was the word there that she used. Lord, I'm not a household pet. I'm lower than that. Lord, I'm just like a mangy old outcast dog. You know what happened to her? Jesus brought her to understand who she was, a pure, bankrupt sinner, brokenness. And then it said there in verse 29, and he said unto her, for this saying, she understood what he was trying to tell her about being poor in spirit. For this saying, go that way, because the demons is cast out of your daughter, because you understand the bankruptcy and you understand the brokenness of being poor in spirit. She knew what she was, just an old scoundrel dog. But she was willing to let Jesus Christ work in her part. There was another man, really we knew in the Bible as Paul. Saul to start with. You know, he was on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting Jesus Christ in the church, and he was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was an educated man from feet of Gamaliel. That was the most educated man in the Hebrew history, and he was also a Roman citizen over and over. But on the Damascus Road, he met Jesus. He saw his bankrupt condition, and he found his brokenness before the Lord. And then it says in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all these things, Pharisee to the Pharisees, all this education, everything that I am, all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Everything old Paul. Now, if anybody could brag, it would have been old Paul. If anybody, I mean, he was the uppity-up class of the Pharisees. I mean, he was the most educated man that they knew of around. Not only that, he was a Roman citizen. Excuse me. Everything old Paul had done, everything was, he was probably a rich man at that time. Everything he was, he counted up and just pure old dung, lost everything. Because he realized one thing, spiritual brokenness. He was bankrupt and then he is brokenness before Almighty God. As people say, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, hell is waiting for a lot of pretty good guys. If people could understand, there's no pretty good guys until you see yourself as a beggar. Because the way of hell is widening out and people are going, wide is the road, Jesus Christ said. And I'm going to tell you, we're stepping on the way on a place called hell all the time. People got to see who they are, but we got so much pride. People got so much pride of what I can do, what I am today. They don't see their bankrupt. They don't see their brokenness before my Almighty God. Y'all remember old Cassius Clay? They changed his name to Muhammad Ali because he didn't want to go to the military in his prime of his life, the heavyweight champion fighter. Y'all remember old Muhammad Ali? You know, he was going somewhere on in an airplane. He got on an airplane and was fixing to take off, and the stewardess said, "All right, everybody buckle their seatbelts." Old Muhammad Ali says, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the stewardess come right back at him. She says, "Superman don't need no airplane. Buckle your seatbelts." You know, he was proud thinking who he is. You know, a lot of people that same way, we don't need no seatbelts. A lot of people don't need no seatbelts. We got so much pride, we can do it ourselves, because people don't see themselves in condition that they need to bring themselves to, and God is working on them. Bankrupt. Brokenness before Almighty God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 again. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." You won't be saved, what he's saying. You ain't going to heaven. You're just not going to heaven. That's just plain and simple. Except. See, God puts a demand on that. When he says except your righteousness, he can put demands on it because he's perfect. Well, how much exception we got to put there? Except, well, where we got to go with that? Good gracious, I thought I was going to quit early tonight. I'm about to go over. I'm sorry. Yeah, listen, I'll be through in just a minute. Anyhow, he puts a demand on this. Y'all have to listen in a hurry now. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Here's what he puts on it. "Be ye therefore perfect," in the same chapter, "even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." He puts the exception on it. And what that exception is, that you got to be perfect. Huh. How are you going to be perfect? Are you perfect tonight? If you're saved, you're perfect through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You're not perfect yet on your own, but you're perfect because, you see, when people start measuring themselves by other people and say, "I'm just as good, you're just as bad." But whenever we see ourselves with this bankrupt and there's brokenness, you see, and we quit measuring ourselves against other people, but God demands us to be perfect. And you know what? They will nobody go to heaven unless they're perfect. They won't nobody go to heaven unless they're perfect. Y'all know where, you know that? Did y'all know that? Your righteousness will not make it. But you are perfect in the sight of God through the shed blood of Jesus. Because you see, that brings us to our last point, the spiritual beggar and his blessedness. You know, I've been to Mexico, and I also saw this in New York City where, you know, people go to the garbage dump and they don't mind getting in that garbage dump. And I've seen that in Mexico where the whole family be out there with the dogs and the hogs digging through the scraps, the garbage or whatever they can find. And, you know, they didn't care who seen them because, you see, their poorness had overcome their shame. Went to New York City several years ago, and my boys was younger, saw a man digging in a trash can to get something to eat. His hunger, you know, overcame his shame. And what does he say? When anyone needs to come down this aisle, they get to thinking, wonder what people think I've done if I come down this aisle. Wonder what people think of me if I come accept Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to come and rededicate your life. What would people think? Here's what he's talking about. Because when you see that need so strong in your life is the need that someone has to dig in the garbage. There's such a need for what they need to eat or what they can dig out of the garbage. That need is so strong it overcomes their shame. You know, there's a lot of people ashamed to come down this aisle. And there's a lot of people ashamed to confess Jesus Christ publicly and openly. They hadn't come to that point yet. When you get to that point, you won't care. You won't have to worry about what somebody says because you won't even care what anybody else said. It's just your need for Jesus. There's need for Jesus. The spiritual beggar and his blessedness. And I'll be through. Again, that verse of scripture. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." On the way to heaven. It's foundation stones. Poor in spirit. Matthew 18:3-4 said, "And said, Jesus, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. People never live spiritually till they understand, admit they are spiritually dead to start with before they ever be made alive. That spirit side. You say, no, I'm not a beggar. You know what an evangelist is? A true evangelist is? One beggar tell another beggar where to go get bread. That's exactly what it is. Why more people don't come? Why more people don't come down the aisle? Why more people don't receive? Because they're not poor in spirit. They got plenty of strength of Muhammad Ali, proud of their self, until they've brokenness. They have this bankrupt and brokenness, and then you will see the blessedness. How are you fitting tonight? They're the first stepping stone. My. I told Joyce I'm going to go